You are Locked On LSU, your daily podcast on the LSU Tigers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Okay, let's get it. Locked On LSU, your team every day. I'm Matt Moscona, ESPN Radio Baton Rouge, New Orleans, Alexandria, CST. And right here for the Locked On LSU podcast, Ryan Clark and Ed Ogeron recap of the NFL draft from the LSU perspective. That's coming up, but baseball Tigers got a win on Monday. They were scheduled to play Southern today, Tuesday, but threat of weather in Baton Rouge, the crosstown rivals decided to play it on Monday out at the box, and it was all Tigers early and often. Gavin Dugas had an RBI double in the first, Malazzo an RBI triple in the second. Both Drew Bianco and Dylan Cruz homered in the game, and even Matthew Beck got in on the action. The senior pitcher got an AB and roped a single to right field, so he's batting 1,000 now for his career. A little shade of Todd Peterson from back in 2018. But LSU, a 10-2 winner over Southern. Here was Paul Mainieri on the win.
We're just going to take them one at a time and try to, you know, win every game we play and let the chips fall as they may. You know, we still have hope and we believe in ourselves, and we're going to just go out there and compete as hard as we can every game. And let's see what happens over the next 3 weeks. You know, we're just going to, you know, play as hard as we can and believe in ourselves and leave it all out there on the field. And hopefully after these next 3 weeks, we'll have enough success to go to Hoover and hopefully be in the NCAA tournament. And once you get in the NCAA tournament, anything can happen. You know, Vanderbilt once won the national championship, finishing sixth during the regular season. So anything can happen. You never know.
He is right that anything can happen, and baseball streaks do happen. And he mentioned Vanderbilt winning the title, their first under Tim Corbin, when they finished sixth in the SEC. We saw Mississippi State go 15-15 in the conference in 2018 and play themselves all the way into Omaha and into the national championship series. So, yes, baseball is a streaky game, and things can happen. As we've talked about, though, the problem with LSU is the lack of a third pitcher and the lack of a consistent bullpen is ultimately going to be this team's undoing. But what I will say, and have said and will continue to say, is when this team was 1-8 in the conference, it would have been very easy for them to pack it in. It would have been very easy for them to throw up their hands, having already lost Jaden Hill for the season, and to be 1-8 and to be in that kind of a hole to say, it's just not going to be our year with a lot of young players. They haven't done that. After starting 1-8, the Tigers now at 7-14, you're talking about having gone 6-6 over their next 12. So they're playing 500 baseball since then, and that's against a bunch of top 10 teams in the country. So, yes, they deserve credit for pulling themselves out of this hole and giving themselves a chance to make it to the postseason. They do play Auburn this weekend, and we're going to give you a full preview of that series as we move through this week. Remember, that is a Thursday, Friday, Saturday series, which I personally prefer. I love having primetime games on Thursday night and Friday night. So ideally, eventually, I'd love to see the SEC move from Friday, Saturday, Sunday to Thursday, Friday, Saturday series. I don't know that that's realistic, but it's something that I certainly would favor. But listen, Auburn's a team that is in a three-way tie for dead last in the SEC. Auburn, Texas A&M, and Missouri are all at 5-16. Six of LSU's remaining nine conference games are against Auburn and Texas A&M. They also have a three-game home series against Alabama, which has actually played itself into a winning record in the league at 11-10 overall. But that is a winnable home series for LSU. Toughest part of the season for LSU is behind it. Let's see what they can do in these final six games. It is worth mentioning, of course, Matthew Beck's single. Paul Mainieri did talk about that after the game as well.
Clearly the highlight of the day was Matthew Beck coming off the bench. You know, Gavin Dugas was having a rough day. We needed a spark, and he did his best Todd Peterson imitation today. I told him I was a little disappointed. You know, Peterson has a little more power, but I was very impressed with Beck's approach with two strikes hitting to the opposite field. That was 103 miles an hour off the bat to the opposite field. We don't have many hitters on our team that hit the ball that hard to the opposite field. I might have to rethink this. Maybe, you know, Trey Morgan might be starting to worry about that first base job. But I don't know.
Beck, of course, has spent the bulk of the season injured. He wears the number 8, came back for a senior season post-COVID, and it unfortunately hasn't worked out for him due to injury, but that was a really cool moment that he got and that Palmieri allowed him in a midweek game. So congrats to Matt Beck on the hit, and a really cool moment in this season, a season which has been plagued by not many great moments, but certainly one popped up there, which was pretty cool. A lot of cool moments this past weekend with LSU in the NFL draft. We'll recap that coming up. Excited to tell you that this episode today is brought to you by 1010. It's a capsule collection of diamond rings that are responsibly sourced, limited edition designs at fair price points. 1010 is an exclusive collection of 10 creative styles of diamond rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today. They're rings that are sure to bring joy into her life. Using only diamonds sourced from Botswana, 10 female design masters have each produced a uniquely beautiful ring, ideal for engagement, Mother's Day this weekend, fellas, or simply a beautiful conversation piece. It's the perfect way to bring light into her life, and they're available now through Mother's Day only at BlueNile.com. Just search the words 10x10. Spell it out. 10x10. Collection features high quality, fine jewelry that'll surprise her, delight her. It's fairly priced, so you can give her something special and truly meaningful. So if you're on the hunt for a perfect, unique ring that she will treasure forever, you're definitely going to want to check this out. Again, this is not going to be around for long, so find them now by searching the words 10x10. Spell it out, T-E-N, 10x10, only at BlueNile.com. That's Blue, N-I-L-E.com, BlueNile.com. The NFL draft wrapped up over the weekend. 7 former Tigers heard their names called. Got a chance to talk about it with former LSU Tiger, current analyst for ESPN, Ryan Clark. And we just kind of went in order and started with Ja'Marr Chase going to the Bengals.
Worst pick of the top 2.
Taking Ja'Marr?
Yeah.
Because they should have gone Sewell.
And not because of Ja'Marr. I think Ja'Marr is a star.
Yeah, he's amazing.
I think he's a star. I think, and what I said was this. The Cincinnati Bengals had to look no further than their own locker room to know you can get value at wide receiver in the second round or third round, right? You have T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd, who were your 1 and 2 receivers, who Joe Burrow played extremely well with, both second-round draft picks. You don't get that type of value on the offensive line. You certainly don't get it at left tackle. Now, there are some guys that can play well. Very seldom you become, you know, Munoz, Ogden, Baselli Jones. It's very seldom you become those guys if you ain't picked 5.
Yeah.
And so it certainly wasn't a slight at Ja'Marr, because they asked me what pick I hated the most of the first round, and I said that one. And I definitely said, dude's a star. Number one's a star. He'll be a star in the NFL as well. It was more to me, I want Joe Burrow to also be a star. In order to be a star, he has to be upright and on the field.
Yeah.
And he's so brave, so much pocket courage, but now coming back already injured, you know, that mobility probably won't come back for a while, at least not as sudden. You know, he's never going to be a coward. He don't know how. You know what I'm saying? Like, Joe Burrow's never going to learn, like, you know what, plays are dead. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
Well, he's never going to, he's like, the dude has made too many plays with his legs to ever be like, this guy's not blocked. Should probably get down.
Yeah.
He's just, and that's why you love him. Like, that's why I love him. And so I just thought the responsible thing to do, but I think that was a ceiling pick, right? That was like, this dude's a Hall of Famer. Like, we believe he's a Hall of Famer. And I get that too, though.
I think Terrace in Carolina with Joe Brady just made so much sense. So he dropped because of the medicals, right? What I never thought of Terrace Marshall as injury prone. I mean, he broke his foot against Vanderbilt 2019, but he never had an injury other than that.
He's drafted what, 44th?
It was 59th. He was one pick before the Saints, but he was 59th.
59th. So here's my thing, and maybe it's the undrafted in me. Like, I don't necessarily know how far that is dropping. right? Like you look at a lot of people thought he'd be the Baltimore pick
at 27.
That, right.
And they picked Rashad Bateman out of Minnesota instead.
Right. Who, when you watch his film, though, and you look at his statistics, it's pretty close. Like, that's a pick 'em almost. Like, it's like who you like more.
All right.
You know, Bateman actually coming into the season was probably more highly ranked than Terrace.
Right.
Right. He kind of moved inside. He wasn't as productive as he was the year before. Minnesota wasn't as good as they were the year before. So you kind of lost his name. And so I'm not in any way saying
he
that.
He opted out.
And then
opted in.
I thought he opted back in.
And then he opted out again when they lost like two games.
Okay, right.
Yeah.
And so I just don't think that – I don't think that that's like mind-boggling to me that he went second round. Like, I just don't. Now, if he was – supposed to be Jamar, and he goes at 59, mm-hmm. then I'm like, holy hell, that's bad news. But I think that's a great spot for Terrace. I think he'll play extremely well. You look at a guy like Rondale Moore, who I think went 49th to the Cardinals.
He did.
Right?
Looking at
4-2 guy, you know, a slot guy, just a different piece when you already got DeAndre on the outside. You just picked up A.J. Green. And so I think wide receiver is kind of like, hey, it's your flavor, but I think that's a good spot for him when you look at, you have Robbie Anderson, you got DJ Moore, now you add Terrace, who's different than both of those guys.
Mm-hmm.
And in the offense with a coach who understands him.
What do you think about Jabril going to Dallas?
I thought that was good.
Fourth round surprise you?
No, I didn't think he'd go any earlier.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it. You know,
most people had him slotted in the top two rounds, more of a, you know, of a day two guy. So when he slipped to day three, I think it surprised a lot of people.
You remember?
I was like, man, did you see the film last?
Right? Do you
did
remember
anybody LSU last year? Stand
right? Do you remember? I think I heard this guy on air like Wednesday or Thursday, and he was kind of talking about you know, Jabril Cox and saying, you know, kind of when you turn the film on, you could see it slipping and becoming. I mean, I thought a guy said that.
I don't know. That doesn't sound familiar.
I'm not really sure if you listen to the guests that come on your show. And so maybe you didn't hear this particular analyst come on and say that he
sounds
thought that
like
that would be.
I might have said.
That he would be that the fourth round might be a good spot sounds. For him. And too, you know, he goes to a team that was really trying to build defensively. And so now it's going to be about finding a slot for him, right? Because guess what? The dude that wore double sticks for Penn State,
ooh,
he going to start. See, right? So, like,
the
let's
dude
just,
who looked like the Incredible Hulk on the 40-yard
right,
dash
right, right.
with no shirt on.
Right, like that dude. The dude that actually would have beat Thanos in the fight and not forgot how to turn green, you know? And so, but I think that's a good spot for Jabril. I think it's going to be about him, you know, finding a place on that defense now that Dan Quinn is there. That team went defense heavy. And then what we got, so who else was it? We had Racy. You got Jacoby. You have Tyler Shelvin goes to Cincinnati. And then obviously Kerry Vincent. You know, I made a statement on Twitter about opt-outs hurting people.
Mm-hmm.
Jacoby tweeted me. And you know how like you could feel angst in people's tweets?
Sometimes, yeah.
He was like, no, opting out helped. He's like, no, it didn't. You know, like you can opt out when you're Jamar.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? And eventually, and I kind of regretted sending this tweet because I thought, after I sent it and it was already out there, I thought he would think I was talking about him and I wasn't like necessarily talking about him in particular. I said, playing hurts you if you play bad.
Mm.
Right? Like that was, you know, that was just the truth.
Yeah.
But a guy like Tyler Shelvin was actually thought of more highly than he was drafted. You go to Javon Holland, he was a top 15, you know, projected pick before he opts out. And I just felt like opting out hurt guys who wouldn't have been drafted in that same place last year.
Yeah.
Right? If Jamar Chase is able to come out as a sophomore, Jamar Chase is drafted before Henry Ruggs.
Yeah.
Last year.
No doubt.
Right? Penei Sewell is, if not the top tackle, the second tackle pick last year. I don't even remember who the first one was. But Penei Sewell was that level player. Was it Mekhi Becton? Or did, because I think Becton fell to become the second guy.
To the Jets.
Yeah, I think he was the second guy. Tristan Wirfs went to Tampa where?
Andrew Thomas went to the Giants fourth.
Andrew Thomas went to the Giants fourth. And that was a bad pick, actually.
And then Jedrick Wills went 10th. And then right. Mekhi Becton went 11th. There it is.
Right, you know what I'm saying? And so you think Penei Sewell in that draft kind of goes in the same place. So those dudes ended up being okay. It was kind of everybody else whose film was good, but when I, you know, like Devontae Smith, if Devontae Smith opts out, he doesn't go 10th.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? True. Like even Jalen Waddle with an injury, he doesn't go 6th because what we got to see from him early enough was so dang explosive, and he had 17 total touchdowns in college, and he averaged 44 yards a touchdown.
That's so crazy.
You know what I'm saying? Bro, think, bro, every it's a half a field every time he scores. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's
that is crazy.
That's ridiculous.
In the SEC.
In SEC.
Yeah.
You know, and so I think, you know, this was just one of those weird years. Like you said, you started kind of talking about medical with guys as well. Like, Dylan Moses is still rehabbing an injury. And, like, the coaches just said it was so hard to truly get evaluations on guys without combines and with trying to do pro days. Whereas combine, you got 300 dudes who are there for that. At least they got that last year.
Mm-hmm.
And so you could pick from that pool of people. You just didn't get that this year, man. I just think it was hard. But, you know, hopefully next year it gets better. And I think the other piece is LSU is going to be good next year, I think.
How good?
I think LSU is going to beat Bama next year.
In Tuscaloosa?
Yep.
How about that nugget? If you want to hear our entire conversation with Ryan Clark, almost an hour's worth, you can hear it online at 1045ESPN.com. This is the Locked On LSU podcast. We're brought to you by Rock Auto and RockAuto.com. Rock AUTO. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. Why would you choose to spend 30%, 50%, 100% more for the exact same auto parts at a chain store or new car dealership? Like, if you want an example, how about this? The Delphi FG1456 fuel pump assembly for a 2005-2010 Honda Odyssey, $353.99 at a big chain store. At rockauto.com, $216.79. It's more than $100 savings. Go to rockauto.com. If it's carburetors or carpet, if it's windshield wipers or motor oil, anything for your vehicle, they have it at rockauto.com, which has been serving online customers for 20 years. It's a family business. It's rockauto.com, Rock AUTO. Make sure when you get to checkout, write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. It is rockauto.com. And, of course, while you're watching the games, it's always more fun to have a little action on the game. So do what I do. Use betonline.ag. Seriously, I've used BetOnline since 2010. BetOnline.ag has been around for 20 years now. It is safe. It is secure. It is easy to use. And it makes watching the game so much more fun. There was so much action this weekend. The NFL draft, the first leg of the Triple Crown with the Kentucky Derby. You had MMA. You've got NBA and NHL. Don't sit on the sidelines. Throw a little action on the game. It's free to sign up for an account. BetOnline.ag, BetOnline.ag. And when you go make your first deposit of funds, be sure to use the code LOCKEDON, one word, LOCKEDON, for your 50% welcome bonus. So what that means is deposit $100, they'll give you 50 for free to play with. It's at BetOnline.ag. BetOnline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. BetOnline.ag. So we let you hear from Ryan Clark about the draft. What about Ed Ogeron? He was a guest Tuesday on Off the Bench with Jacob Hester. T-Bob Hebert was out. And Coach O did talk about his seven players that got drafted.
No question. We used it for recruiting, and you know, that's when we went into the homes and told everybody. You know, Jamal, his family was so appreciative at the draft. Said, Coach, everything you told us in recruiting happened. And it's like that with most of our coaches now. Some of them went, I don't know, lower than expected. But you know what? The big thing is just get there. Once you get there, make the team and have a great career.
Now, you heard Ogeron there mention some guys who went maybe a little later than they expected. Tyler Shelvin would probably qualify, a guy who coming out of the 2019 season was thought, man, that's a guy who potentially, you know, has first-round value. He ends up slipping into round four. Here was Ed Ogeron on Shelvin.
I'm so proud of Big T. You know, the one thing I asked him when he told me he was opting out, I said, okay, I'm going to support you. That's your decision. I want you to lose weight. I don't know how big he was, but he was over 380 for sure. And when he came to his pro day, I think he was right at 350. So I know he was working out. He looks good. I think Cincinnati is a great spot for him with Jamar and Joe there. They got a great program there. If they wanted him, He's excited. He's hungry. I think he's doing very well.
And, of course, there's a great benefit that he's got teammates there with Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase. And, of course, Thad Moss is there also.
And Ja'Marr's going to need it, too. But that's what Joe is. Joe's a leader, so he's got two great players. I know he wants to play well. He's going to show them the work. Those guys are going to learn together. Can't wait to watch the Bayou Bengals.
You know, for as much talk as there is about the Saints drafting Ohio State players, how interesting is it that the Ohio NFL teams keep drafting LSU guys? Just ran through the guys in Cincinnati. But, of course, you have the Cleveland Browns as well with Odell Beckham and Jarvis Landry and Jacob Phillips and Greedy Williams and Grant Delpit. So you've got LSU North really there throughout the state of Ohio. As far as the next crop of players to come through, the dead period for recruiting is lifted June 1. So what is Ed Orgeron and his staff doing for the next month until they can start to welcome visitors on campus again?
As far as recruiting, we FaceTime our recruits. We have some official visits set in the weekends of June. We have our camp set. Most of our guys are coming to camp. Most of our guys are responding. We're having a great response right now. We have a very good recruiting class, and we're going to continue to get better. And then our coaches are also doing self-scout. And as you know, Jacob, self-scout's like beating yourself up. Yeah. You go in there, we're not doing this right, we're not doing this right. But I want you guys to look at us first, speak to LSU first, before we move on. Then next week, we've got 3 weeks of self-scout. Then next week, we're going to move on to UCLA.
College football season never really stops, 24/7, 365, and the LSU Tigers are looking for a bounce back in 2021. As we get closer, of course, as there's news, we'll let you know about it right here on the Locked On LSU podcast. Not just Locked On LSU, but make sure you're tuned in every day to the Locked On Today podcast. Who is the best superhero in the NBA? Get more of the sports news you need in less time with the Locked On Today podcast. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. If you haven't done so yet, please subscribe to us here at Locked On LSU. Rate us, leave a review on iTunes. All that is tremendously helpful, and we appreciate it greatly. And we'll be back tomorrow for more Locked On LSU, your team every day.